Good morning, fellow students, and welcome to another episode of Legacy Weapon, your guide to the Legacy format. I am Jamie Keller.
And I'm Drew Walton. We are hosted, as always, by GatheringMagic.com and sponsored by Cool Stuff, Inc.
We are your guide to try to get into the Legacy format from scratch, try to improve, try to learn more about the decks, try to learn more about your strategy. And today, for the first time, we have a special guest.
Hey!
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi. I'm Alex Kessler. I'm the host of the Masters of Modern podcast on RocketJump.com. How's it going?
Yes. It's better now that you're here.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk about Modern and Legacy. So we both know a little bit about Modern. We both play some, but we're not remotely experts.
Right.
I'm a level zero guru on Modern.
Yeah.
So we wanted to bring on somebody who had expertise, and I have enjoyed Masters of Modern podcast. It's one of my regulars, even though I'm about 100 hours behind in podcasts that I try to listen to. But
me too.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to Morrow in like 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I've listened to him in about a year and a half. It makes me feel bad because it's a great show. I like it, but it's too many others.
Well, it's played to be for people who have not listened to it, so there definitely is redundancy that you eventually fall into.
Mm.
Yeah, which, honestly, the longer I've been here, the more I've realized I'm redundant.
Yeah.
But it's, well, I don't remember. What did I edit out? What did I keep? What did I say when Drew didn't hit record, so none of that went live?
It's been half the episode, so, you know.
When you tell a joke that's really good in front of one friend, but then another friend comes in, and then, like, an hour later, you tell that same joke, forgetting that you told the first friend, and he's just, like, looking at you.
Yeah, they forgive you once. Yeah, they forgive you once, but the sixth friend, ugh. But yeah. Anyway, tell us a little bit more about you, your Magic pedigree, history, preferences, et cetera, et cetera.
My pedigree is vaguely nondescript, but I started playing Magic again around 10th M10. I originally played back in Tempest, but I was a young child who thought libraries were sideboards and didn't understand words on cards. But started playing around 10th, and then about 4 years ago, me and a buddy of mine created the web series Top Decking, and that was kind of my first foray into Magic video and Magic online media content creation.
I'm choosing to believe that you just said that was your first foray, because that's,
cool, right.
That's
yeah.
We can go a little awkward.
Recorded for posterity.
And then we wrapped season two, and then I started working with Rocket Jump, and the Command Zone just had started, and I guessed it on their podcast a few times, and I was a big Modern proponent. I've been a big adopter of Modern since the very beginning. All of my best tournament finishes are either in Modern or actually it would happen Legacy. And kind of just started it from there. And originally I started with Glenn Jones, who now works at Wizards of the Coast. He was at Star City Games. And I brought Ben on after Glenn got the job at Wizards. And we've been trucking ever since.
Great. That's that's wonderful. I think... you know, you're talking about being an early adopter of Modern. I hated Modern at first, but that was because I hated the new border for the card art, and I just didn't want anything having to do with that.
Jamie is the biggest purist you will ever meet.
So are you an 80-year-old wizard, actually, in real life?
Yes.
Okay, fair.
Actually, every year the waist of my pants moves up about 3 more inches, approximately, like, well, right below the chest.
It
right
raises
now.
Equal to the length of your beard. Lower.
Right.
Okay.
It's the conservation of beard waistline equilibrium. Yeah.
To be fair, I hated it because in Mirrodin they hadn't really figured out how to do the color for white and lands and artifacts, and they all looked the same because I'm colorblind. So I think that's a little bit of an excuse. I'll
all right. That's an actual excuse. Yes. Right. I feel like every time they've made it
Wild West, it was semi-arbitrary where they drew that line. We've all come to accept it. And now that they reprinted the allied fetches, it makes a little bit more sense. Back then, I definitely, and I still think Stifle should be the format, but I thought it should start with Masks Block, I think, is where I've argued it should start.
I mean,
maybe
yeah.
Where whatever Gavin Verhey's overextended format was starting when they first came out with Modern was kind of where I was at, and then... Yeah. Shorten it out and figured it out, and now here we are.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Well, Rashad and Ports would be like $400 if they were modern legal, but yeah.
Yeah, but you can ban that.
You can ban that card. That's true.
It just got Bitter Blossom a year ago. You don't have to start with things in the format.
That's true.
Did you hear the judge foils of Rashad and Port are coming out?
Yes, I saw those. They are very pretty.
They look pretty nice. Now, audience, we wanted to be able to tell you something that I probably should have told you already, and you've probably figured out by now. We make it a point here that we don't talk about decks, we don't talk about cards, we don't talk about concepts unless we've walked through them with you. And then we assume you know it, but you know, we're trying to help you get over that initial hurdle of people using card names you've never heard of. This is an advanced extra credit type of episode because we do not have time to explain all of the modern format. And telling you the text on every card that we talked about as we're trying to talk about an entire format in such a short period of time wouldn't really work.
We thought about having 12-hour episodes, but we decided that maybe we'd go this way instead.
One whole season and a movie. Six seasons and a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want, as a shameless plug, you can go listen to all 66 episodes of Masters of Modern to then get back up here. And we explain cards there sometimes, not all the time.
There we go.
We do it 50-50.
If you get confused, hit us up with our emails. I will explain any card that you want to. So you just shoot me an email or go listen to the other podcasts for 66 hours. the original impetus for this was actually a listener email. We had an email from EDH Ghost, who I think has sent Modern Masters questions as well.
Oh, yeah. EDH Ghost is the best. He tweets at us all the time. I've argued with him many of a time over whether Blood Moon should be a thing.
That might be like an after-credits conversation that we have out here.
Yeah.
So he was saying that he wanted to build a modern deck, specific modern deck, that he could more or less easily port into Legacy so that most of the cards would be the same. You know, he wouldn't have to resleeve everything. The strategy would be close enough that the skills he got on playing one would at least apply to both. And the deck that he had picked was Affinity or Robots. And that's a modern deck, which is...
It's a very good modern deck, yeah.
It's quite good. It's one of the best decks.
It's a pillar, one could say.
Yeah.
Yep, and it actually has few, if any, cards with the word Affinity on them, but it's really, really good artifacts all the way down. And he was wanting to see how to turn that into a Legacy deck. You know, Drew and I were talking, and we talked a lot and realized that this was more than a throwaway. This was more than an email back. This was more than one entry in a mailbag. So we decided we wanted to have at least one episode on it and to bring on somebody who knew a little bit better. So let's start just by talking about how you would compare and contrast Legacy and Modern. Because I know there's some people listening to this who play Legacy and are aware of Modern but might not play it. Maybe some people who already play Legacy already play Modern. And just sort of kind of learning about Legacy.
I mean,
so what's your take on that?
I would say that there's a lot of smaller differences, but I would say the three big things are Legacy is much more of a turn three format, where Modern is a turn four format. But that's an arguable point. But Modern is classically a turn four format, and Legacy is classically a turn three. But the real two differences are Force of Will and Brainstorm.
I'd say that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
So we have talked a bit about Force of Will. I think I've already given my plug on why I think it is the most important card in Legacy, about how it lets them not have to ban everything. It makes the format a little bit more self-regulating. And for anybody who doesn't know, since they don't have Force of Will, they don't have an easy, free counterspell, how does Modern keep its crazy degenerate turn one combos in check?
Thoughtseize and ban policies.
Yep.
Or Inquisition of Kozilek.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're made of money.
Mostly right. The ban list. I feel like that the ban list is really the main answer.
Yeah, that's my answer, is just the ban list. That they, when they see something that can win, you know, consistently on turn one or two, they take out enough pieces to make it more in line with the rest of the power of the format, since they don't have quite the self-regulating. Now, how do you think that Brainstorm, or the lack of Brainstorm, affects modern, because, you know, we've talked about Brainstorm on the show, we've talked about Ponder and Preordain, and all of those are either banned or were never legal in the first place in modern. So how does lacking those really affect modern?
Well, so part of it is because Force of Will exists, because Force of Will is that safety valve that you described, and to a lesser extent, Daze, Brainstorm is allowed to survive and be a glue that lets a lot of other combo decks that can win quickly or do stuff, powerful stuff with Brainstorm, to exist. In Modern, because we don't have Force of Will, because we don't have those things to stop what these combo decks do, when you make these combo decks too consistent, Modern doesn't have a safety valve to deal with them, and then they become degenerate to a problem for the format, because there's no way to defend against them before turn three, really.
That's really an interesting way to think about Brainstorm, Ponder, and Preordain, that they are basically enablers for every combo. And that's basically their in a lot of decks, that's their number one purpose, is just to enable the combos. And so lacking those...
Find.
Yeah, dig quick to find. I know that there is Serum Visions, which is... seems fair. I'm sure y'all have talked about that more than we need to hear.
Yes, we refer to Serum Visions as Batman because he is the hero we deserve and not the one that we.
From my limited experience, that sounds just right. Where not every blue deck even wants it, but it does work.
Yeah,
it's the third most played card in Modern, but.
Really?
Well, it's like Inquisition, Path, and Lightning Bolt, and then Spellskite.
Yeah.
And I run none of those in my one Modern deck, despite running four colors. So that tells you probably the quality of my Modern deck.
Gotta run Spellskite. Spellskiting around. Stopping spells.
If you're made of money.
True. Fair.
But the third thing that you said was really different was... What was the third thing?
speed of the format.
speed of the format. Yep. We talk about how, you know, in Legacy, you can have turn one decks, but that even the turn one decks don't consistently win on turn one, and it's usually, usually turn three seems like about the turn where things are important. You need to pay attention on turn one, maybe counterspell. There's interaction on turn one, but.
The old adage is Standard is a turn five format. That's when if you haven't caused something, most decks should be able to kill you by turn five. Turn four is what Modern's supposed to be. If by turn four you're not interacting with your opponent and you haven't put them on the back foot, they should be able to kill you. Turn three is what Legacy is supposed to be. Same deal. And then Vintage has always been a turn two format, where anytime a deck shows up in one of these formats where they are consistently winning or, you know, basically winning before that turn, that's when they become a problem, which is why stuff like Hulk Flash is banned in Legacy and stuff like Brainstorm, because it makes decks too consistent, is banned in Vintage, and because now I guess apparently, you know, Amulet Bloom is banned in Modern.
Right, because that kind of broke the rule. Now, I mean, there are always some decks that can kind of break this if they get their craziest, luckiest draw. And you know, in all the different formats, Wizard seems okay with that. If it's a one out of every 300 games, you'll draw the eight in specific cards you need.
Well, like, I mean, you guys, Legacy has Goblin Charbelcher, and Modern has Goryeo's Vengeance. And both of those decks can kill you on turn two, or Goblin Charbelcher can kill you on turn one, but...
Right.
The chances of that happening is much lower than the decks that have to be banned out of the format.
Yeah. The other thing as far as speed goes that I've always kind of felt about Modern, and you can tell me, I realized this when I was, you know, kind of playing some Legacy and some Modern, and I've been playing Legacy for a while, and then I wanted to test my Modern deck, and I started playing, and every game, turn one, all I did was do setup, you know, some Dordly Dirk... Dirdly Dork, or
just,
some card
even
draw.
Just play a Shockland tapped.
Yeah, and it pained me. Like when I saw my opening hands, I kept thinking, I'm going to lose this game. I'm not doing anything on turn one or two, but just set up.
Right.
I can't possibly win because, you know, in Legacy, your turn one matters a lot, and you have to be on your toes from turn one. And it seems like in Modern, you don't really have to be on your toes until turn two or three. Is that fair?
I mean, I would say it's really turn two. And we live in a different world now. You know, Splinter Twin, which was the staple combo deck of the format, existed in a place where if you tapped out on your turn three, sorcery speed, you were never safe. In this format, turn two was always, this is the turn where I'm going to do something powerful so that I can keep my removal and keep my game plan up so I can stop you from Splinter Twinning, infecting an opponent out. All the decks do something on turn three, turn four, and depending on if you're the draw or the go, you have to be able to interact on that turn or be the one killing them. Infect doesn't interact, but it's, you have to stop Infect.
Yeah. The one thing which I also have really enjoyed about the formats, and even in my tiny, tiny little foray into proxy vintage, I didn't want to play Modern because I really thought it was just two-card infinite combos left and right. I didn't want to play Legacy because I thought it was just turn one wins left and right. And both of them, in very similar ways, are slower, more stable, and more interactive than they sound from the outside when they're described. And I think that's equally true about Modern as Legacy. You agree?
Sure. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Good. I'm very wise. I say very smart things.
I definitely think things are changing, and I think they are changing towards a more... people are able to play more interesting spells because of the fact that now Sorcery Speed 3 drops and 4 drops become a more playable item. And we will see what that means. That, you know, the problem with Pro Tours, and this is my issue with the idea that they need to shake the format up before a Modern Pro Tour, is that pros will always lean on doing one of two things when they don't know what a format is, and the format is vast. In Standard, you can break it. In Standard, 3 weeks of the 10 best players in a cabin will be able to figure out what cards are the best in the format, this new format that exists. In Modern, you know, Amulet Bloom top aided and got ninth place and then just was dominated all year, but top aided last Pro Tour, but it came from nowhere. But every single there was no new cards. All those cards existed forever. It just took 5 years of the Modern format existing for someone to find it. And, you know, so pros in that situation will more often lean on either playing the fair deck that has Thoughtseize and Inquisition of Kozilek because it can be 55% against everything because it generally can interact with stuff, or
they're
play
just
the most
burn.
Linear aggro. or burn analogy.
Burn,
you know,
or
like
affinity,
storm,
or
burn,
yeah, one
effect.
Of these. Yeah,
yeah,
one of these things that just kills you as fast as it can.
Exactly, and hope that my opponent doesn't have the sideboard that they normally have. But if you go to the GP circuit, you'll see much more diversity because people in GPs take time to learn what decks are best and get very good at them, and they have moments to figure that out, which is why this last year, we didn't have a single overlap. I think maybe Splinter Twin won 2 GPs, but other than that, every other GP was won by a different deck. Merfolk, Elves, these are all decks that, like Elves, no one knew was a deck that was not a deck before that won a GP, and then immediately became a deck. Lantern Control, like top 16, Zach Elsick, top 16 to GP 2, like 2 GPs beforehand. That was the first time anyone had ever seen it place anywhere, and then he spiked the next GP he played in with the deck. Like, these are not decks people knew existed. And that doesn't happen at a Pro Tour as much.
Right, and we haven't really talked about the tournament, what it's like to go to a tournament or what you'd see. But, yeah, especially in GP, you'd probably get, as you said, the pros who play whatever is going to give them the best chance to win, given that they are not spending all the weeks and months and years.
Right, most of these guys are not specialists in that format. So.
People who just play whatever they've always played. You'll get the people who are finely tuning Lantern Control out in their basement and just make it perfect prepped. And you also get, you know, since there's hundreds of people there, the people who bring the weird bear tribal decks. And that's true in Modern and Legacy both. Legacy, I'm going to suggest, without having ever gone to a Legacy GP, is going to have people who do a little bit more tuning, just because they're so few and far between, and the meta is a little bit more stable. So you can do a little bit more easy thinking on it ahead of time.
In Legacy, well, maybe not at the GPs, but even I would guess at the GPs, you probably have some people showing up with decks that they've just in Legacy that they've just had for a long time. And just because it's expensive to buy new decks, you know, even people, even some of the pros will sometimes show up a card or two short because they just can't find another of dual land X.
Yeah, I did definitely make a big fool of myself arguing with a pro, like a legit pro online publicly, about how, no, a Legacy Pro Tour would be just fine. If you can't find a Imperial Recruiter because all 400 of you want one, suck it up. It'll be okay. I should not have done that. That was not my finest argument.
This is what happens to you when you ask for Pro Tours for your format. Stuff gets taken away
from you. We'll talk about that more in a little bit, I think. I think I've changed my mind. I don't think I want a Legacy Pro Tour, but that's for different reasons. Okay, so that's a little...
I mean, I played in definitely a few large SCG events in Legacy specifically, and those generally would always end up being more... These are the deck. This is the Legacy deck that I play. I am a Mono Black Pox player, and I'm going to take this tournament to this tournament, no matter what Legacy tournament is available. And it's not as much a metagame choice as it is a I am a Pox player.
Yeah.
And
these are the cards I own.
There's some arguments, and I've seen some very smart people disagreeing about how in Legacy is it more valuable than normal to be an expert at your deck. And I think I've come down that. Expertise with your deck is not more valuable in Legacy than in any other format. Being a specialist in just one deck versus switching from deck to deck isn't more valuable in Legacy, but it's easier to go deep on it in Legacy. You can have your one deck that you play for 3 years and that you don't change the cards every month to month, and you can pick up that skill over time more easily than in Modern, where it shifts around, or in Standard, where it shifts around, and it's just much more difficult to put in the many, many hours to become a specialist. It's kind of my take on it.
Well, and in Modern, there's a lot of that in Modern, and that's kind of what Birthing Pod was. Birthing Pod took so long to be realized as the best deck, period, in the format, because it was so hard to play that you needed a year and a half to 2 years of, like, knowing every matchup and grinding it and knowing, you know, being off the top of your head to be able to list every converted mana cost that you could get off of the board situation you had, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, like, in Legacy, this is true where it's not as much knowing how to play your deck, because it's important to know how to play your deck, but it's more important to know how to play your deck against other people. And because Legacy and Modern versus Standard are so diverse, knowing how and what to do against each opponent and how to play against them is so much more important than anything else for your deck.
Yeah.
Well, and also just it's a competitive advantage thing. I mean, right. The people you're playing against in Modern and Legacy are going to know their decks really well. The people in Standard, I mean, if they've practiced that deck for a year and a half, well, half of it's rotated. I mean, it's not, you can't practice a Standard deck for a year and a half.
Well, I played Mono Black Fox in Legacy, and before I figured it out, you know, I played against the green-white hate bears deck and I would just lose. And I'm like, this is supposed to be a good matchup. And then I realized, oh, this is the exact way you have to beat them. And you have to cut off Jitay and you have to be able to engineer explosive all humans, or not engineer explosives, engineer plague on humans, because all their deck is humans. And I just, you know, you learn that after playing them three times. And that happened for every other deck I played against. So it's definitely, the more diverse a format is, the more rewarding it is to be a specialist with your deck than a good Magic player.
Moving on a little bit, I wanted to see what decks you would say, kind of going back to the initial listener question, kind of port well between Legacy and Modern. Which ones, if you're wanting to build a Modern / Legacy collection where there's just a lot of overlap or a lot of skills that go from one to the other, or if you're just a Modern player and you want to think about whether or not your deck can be converted into Legacy, what decks translate well?
First of all, I think those are probably two different questions. I think there are some decks where the skills might translate relatively well, but the cards do not, at least in terms of the ones that cost money.
All right, well, you're absolutely right. So let's start with the ones where, like, the cards themselves are the same, where out of your 75 cards, just a lot of those you wouldn't have to replace. Are there any decks that kind of do that kind of look the same?
I think the easiest ones are probably Merfolk and Elves. Off the top, like, just blatantly, Burn. Most of the cards, there are expensive ones. I don't know Legacy Burn. I would expect Legacy Burn is not as much three color, but I don't know how true that is. I would assume Golembide, Odd-Line.
It's not, but I mean, well, some Modern Burn is monocolor too. I mean, depends. The three color.
The Legacy Burn that I look at is usually mono red or a two color with a splash. And I've looked at some decks, and there actually is some variability. It's not there's not as much of a stock burn list as I would have expected. But to go from Modern Burn, from looking at kind of the general Modern Burn list going into Legacy, the only things you need to add in Legacy are like Chain Lightnings and Price of Progress and just a couple other cards that aren't that expensive. See, Fire Blast.
Yeah.
Just a few things that complement.
That was what I was going to say. Was that the expensive?
Yeah, in terms of the
sorry, the money cards. The expensive cards carry over the cards that you
just
don't
basically
carry
Goblin
over
Guides
are being expensive.
Basically it.
Right. Well, does Eidolon do they play Eidolon or no?
They do play Eidolon. I forgot.
Most.
I'd say Eidolon, yeah. Blood Moon.
I don't know if they.
I think in the side. Maybe they play and actually, Eidolon's in the lists that I like. I have talked to somebody recently over from the Leaving a Legacy podcast who was saying. Not always Eidolons if you want to run the deal 4 damage to all players. Because if you're doing things like that, you're really hurting yourself a lot, and you can't really 2-for-1 yourself off of the Eidolon.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, my understanding of Legacy Burn is probably the most limited of the different decks that might translate over.
So Burn is one. You said Merfolk. There obviously has the draw and the counter spells, the Force of Wills and the Brainstorms, which are in a lot of Legacy decks. Is the rest kind of the same creature base?
Right. Yeah, it's
the creature base.
The creature space is identical. Okay. They might not play Master of Waves, I guess. Like, there's a few random cards that they don't play, but the Curse Catchers, the
doesn't play
Silvergill Adepts, the Lord.
It doesn't play the
Regirays.
Yeah. Okay. But.
Yeah. Well, it keeps the two drops. I mean, the main thing is Aether Vial, and that you have.
Aether Vial, that's the expensive card. Well, you do have to buy Force
True.
Of Will.
True, Force of Will is expensive.
Right, well, that's...
It goes in everything.
The limitation between the two formats are... Yeah, I mean, the Force of Will, if you're going to play a blue deck... That's why Elves is an easier transition, I think, but you need Gaia's Cradle. Like, there are cards in Legacy that are just going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. I actually do think... And I mean, apparently Affinity hasn't placed that much. I mean, Affinity was probably my first Legacy deck, and that was back in Scars of Mirrodin, because there was a chance that Scars of Mirrodin's cards would make it more powerful, and they did. And the main difference is Tezzeret and the Affinity lands, really, based off of lists I've seen. So the lists themselves are similar. I mean, you guys can talk to how powerful you think Affinity is in the format. I do think that the lists that you sent me weren't... I think if I was going to do Affinity and Legacy, I would play more free artifact spells and just go straight up to the Tezzeret plan and try and just kill them on turn 3 with Tezzeret Ultimate and hope that goes well. I do think it's weak to artifact hate. There's a lot of things that goes wrong for it.
There's a deck. I mean, there is a deck out there that's just called Tezzeret in Legacy, and it sees some play, tier 2, 2.5, something like that. I mean, and every once in a while, somebody will tweak it and it'll make a decent showing. I feel like the deck is very different in terms of, I wouldn't compare it to the Affinity deck in Modern, though. It feels like a totally different deck.
Right. I think the thing is, you might even call them both Affinity if you wanted to, or depending on your list.
the Legacy deck might actually have Affinity cards.
I don't think it does anymore.
if you look at the 75 cards, there's just not a lot of overlap. We were trying to think of any deck that would use Cranial Plating in Legacy, and we couldn't really think of a tier 1 or 2 use of Cranial Plating, and that was just true through most of the staple cards in the Modern Affinity Robots list. You can make an aggro artifact deck. You can make an all artifact deck there's a deck called Mud that is a artifact control deck, which is very, very good, but and that's not going to look anything like Modern Robots Affinity.
No. I mean, it's a control deck. Yeah.
It has 12 main board hate cards against my deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what deck do you guys play in Legacy?
I am Elves. I am slowly building a Legacy Burn deck, but I'm Elves pretty through and through.
And I play Maverick.
Okay.
So
love
for
Golgari.
Great
against the two of you guys.
Yeah. Pretty much. No, neither of us really like paying for Force of Wills, so that's
I think that's basically what happened. Is we looked at the Legacy playable cards we had, and none of those cards were blue, so we ended up in green and black.
And to be honest, that's the biggest barrier to entry between the two formats is cards like Force of Will, Wasteland, and the dual lands. Those three sets of cards, like every other card is vaguely translatable, except for that specific problem. And I mean, like, it to be totally honest, if you want to get into Legacy, I would recommend thinking of ways on how to invest in those cards, and that's kind of the easiest way to get in, because Merfolk is very similar. You just need Force of Will and Wasteland,
and And for anybody who's tuning in and hadn't listened to our prior episodes, you can jump back to, I think it was episode 3, where we talk about specifically budget land options. The dual lands, the short version, are, you know, there's nothing else as good as them. In Legacy, if you run Shock Lands in Legacy, you're probably fine. It's okay, at least as your starter deck. That's the 30-second version of that entire podcast.
Right. If you're trying to decide whether to buy dual lands or Forces of Will, the answer is to buy Force of Will.
Well, I would imagine also that the more aggressive you are, the more Shock Lands aren't as much of a problem. Like, Storm doesn't matter about an Underground Sea as much. And if I vaguely remember,
well, Storm plays
nauseam. That's true.
Ad nauseum, though. Yeah, they kind of need their life.
But,
total,
I mean, instead of a life total, so, you could.
I don't
go
know
with
how much.
Dark Slick Shores.
Yep.
Because they're not.
Dark
going
Slick Shores is probably pretty fine, and they're not going to play. If you've played four lands in in Legacy Storm, you've done something. Something has gone very wrong.
Right. So, like, just figuring out untapped black blue sources, which there are some. I mean, even like. The rainbow land that gives your opponent a 1/1 if you're killing a bunch
you probably don't really care. Yeah,
like there are ways around it. It's obviously not as good, but that is the real limitation between the two formats. Like, because like the difference between Junk and Jund and like Shardless Bug is not that great. Like, Hymn to Torak's not that expensive. Shardless Agent and Baleful Strixes have been reprinted in as many Commander decks as they possibly can be. So
you already own the Lilianas.
You already own the Lilianas. So, you already own the Tarmogoyf. You already own the Fetch Lands.
Bobs.
You already own Bob. So like the difference between those two decks is, and even Thoughtsies, in play style isn't that different. They're grindy matches that you're playing dirtily creatures that eventually kill them. But it really comes down to those dual lands. I mean, and you can cheat because you can cheat with playing over, you know, heavy basics and just trying to get your hands on one of each. And making sure your deck isn't trying to get two Underground Seas in play at the same time. So try and get just like beat up unlimited Italian Underground Seas and just one of them. So you can just play the one and then play one, you know, of the as many fetch lands as possible.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that, I think, is that Jund just isn't really a very good deck in Legacy.
I think I give it maybe too much credit with the current meta, but I like it.
It's okay.
Well, that's kind of what I was pointing at. Jund into Shardless Bug. Like, you play the Legacy version. You start playing blue instead of Jund. Though, I mean, there are Jund Legacy lists that are, like, heavy on the Grove of the Burn Willows, Punishing Fire.
I mean, the Punishing Loam is, I guess, Jund.
Yeah, I think I give it to.
Well, against both of your decks, that's a very good
plan. But Punishing Fire, Pyroclasm, Engineered Plague, there are some. Maybe that's why I like it more, just because it has a lot of things that are good against my deck. One that I did want to talk about, because I saw, and I can link it in the show notes, an article about somebody playing Infect across multiple formats. And that's one. Tell us a little bit about Modern Infect, because it looks like the lists are basically identical, except for a couple cheap cards and Berserk.
Berserk is the big limit, Force of Will. I think the mana base between the two is probably a problem. But
somebody top eighted a Legacy tournament, like a fairly good sized Legacy tournament with a Breeding Pool or two in his list. You really don't care in that deck if you're playing Tropical
Islands. Right, and that's 100% true. So like, this is definitely a deck I can imagine someone just being like, ugh, I don't have the dual lands, but I'm just going to take what I have. Force of Will and Berserk are the barrier. Mm-hmm. But as we said before, if you're trying to get into Legacy, Force of Will, Force of Will and
Wasteland
are your two biggest. They like open up every monocolor deck. And that's what I did. I started, when I first started playing, my path into Legacy was, I started with an Infinity list, and this was right before I was like, oh, it's got to go up, because if like something like Mox Opal was printed, the cards will get better. So I invested in Infinity, and then went a few tournaments and got my ass kicked, and then moved on to Dredge, and because that was at that time, it was before the Lion's Eye Diamond became a requirement of the deck, and they were playing and they were trying to do stuff with Bloodghasts and whatever, and played that through tournaments, and then, you know, eventually I figured out the Dredge problem of, if people are expecting it, you're gonna have a terrible day.
And then
they printed Deathrite Shaman.
I said I was elves. I do also have, it was my first deck, and I bought it whole as one lump by trading. I traded a guy like 400 random cards for his cube, and he gave me Manaless Dredge in its entirety.
Yeah. That, no, everyone I know that's ever had Dredge bought it all at once as a single.
Yeah, if I had bought Dredge, I might be a Dredge player. But I bought Manalus Dredge, and it's such a bad deck. It's just terrible. It's so punishing.
I mean, and then I moved to Mono Black Pox because I got Wastelands. I was like, okay, I'm investing in real cards now.
Yeah,
I placed it in Wastelands. I was like, okay, what can I play? Well, Liliana's cheap because it's a standard card right now, so I'll play Mono Black Pox, and that was probably my best Legacy finish.
Also, 11? Probably your best financial choice of, mm-hmm. Oh, Liliana's a cheap. I'll pick up some of those.
Yes. I was definitely an Urborg now, apparently. My playset of Urborgs have just skyrocketed.
I just picked up two for $10 and two for $20, so I felt pretty good about that.
I
bought my whole playset for less than $20.
Right.
Back in the day.
I definitely picked up my... I just bought two From the Vault Realms, like right before all the spikes happened, for like 100, 10, 130, and they're now worth like 300 a pop. Gosh. Because just the lands inside of them are between that and Grove, and just like the random stuff like Maze of Ith is just like, oh, I just made a bunch of money.
Yep. Yeah.
And a building Tron, because I first won except our evil tentacle overlords.
Yeah, Tron is good. I like it. I made sure to have my playset of any of the Tron lands. It's not quite my style. But I do like ramp, so who knows? Maybe I'll someday try that.
And that's another deck. I mean, there are 12 post decks, correct? Which was originally a modern deck that got banned, like literally modern opened with the Pro Tour, and then before the next modern tournament period, it was banned out of it.
Maybe people having 8 mana on turn 3 consistently is a problem.
That's actually sort of the next category I want to talk about is decks that don't look the same but kind of play the same. Now, for anybody who knows, the Tron lands in Modern, you know, they make a whole lot of mana if you have specific 3 of them. 12 posts are lands that just say, hey, if you've got more of this land, I make infinitely more mana, exponentially. So it kind of plays out the same way, where you need your turn one's not that strong, but you get exponentially more rampy and more colorless and more strong. So they seem to play out pretty similarly.
I always kind of describe 12 posts to people that were trying to remember it as the middle point between Amulet Bloom and Tron, where you're casting, you're playing these lands and they cause a lot of colorless mana to be produced, but you're doing it through Amulet Bloom. Amulet of Vigor and Primeval Titan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was what was in Modern. I don't know if Primeval Titan's in the Legacy lists, but...
The Legacy list is more like... what's in there? It runs your sort of Chalice of Void...
Right, got it.
...package, and then it's running crazy stuff. I think there might be some... I think it has, like, Worm Coil Engines... Then like Sundering Titans,
okay. The artifact fatties of
right. Some of the same stuff probably has Karn in it too.
I just pulled up one recently, and they're big stuff. The Emrakul, Primeval Titan, Ulamog, in this cut version. So that's
Nulamog or
Ceaseless Hunger. Nulamog.
Okay.
So this is.
I haven't played against one of those decks in a while.
This is actually a weird list, because then they also have a Dark Depths package. This is a weird list. Never mind. Ignore that list. It looks like it did well, but that's not quite indicative. Are there any other you can think of where, you know, if you like X in Modern, you know, maybe X isn't a deck, but here's a deck you will also like and be good at, kind of thing?
I mean, Apost and Pox, those are, like, they're definitely, I mean, there are arguably the same deck, just they win differently. I want to say that there are decks similar to Valakut in Legacy. I'm not exact, like Scapeshift decks are
like
around.
I don't know if I've ever seen that, but
control decks that stop you until turn 4 or 3 and then just win through combo, I guess, is what Scapeshift is.
Okay.
In my head, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, Splinter Twin too. Yeah. Most people play Splinter Twin in Legacy.
I guess that's the real point.
It's no longer a modern deck, but...
Would you say there are comparable feeling decks to Twin in Legacy?
I mean, the version of Maverick that I play can be sort of like that, because I have the Dark Depths package. It's not blue at all, but it is kind of the, like, you know, the sort of Jundi-type control with discard spells and removal for a couple of turns, and then a Knight of the Reliquary, and suddenly, bang, there's a 2020.
Yeah, maybe elves, even? Though elves is my answer to everything, but I...
Elves isn't really, a good control deck.
I'm really just trying to think of something that floods the board. That's what I'm thinking of. High Tide.
And we've kind of talked about
High Tide. High Tide's a good example.
Yeah, no, that
kind of controls.
There you go. I think we talked about most of the decks that are similar in the sense that Infect is very similar to Infect. Elves is very similar to Elves.
Yes.
Merfolk is very similar to Merfolk. Eight Rack and Pox. Yeah. And, like, there is...
Jund and Abzan are similar to Jund and Abzan.
Jund versus Jund, Abzan, and... Yeah, I mean, there are Hate Bears in both formats. Actually, I guess that's a deck we didn't really talk about. There is
Death
a Hate...
Taxes,
Death and Taxes is in both formats, and Death and Taxes in Legacy is a much stronger package due to Mom and Wasteland.
Stoneforge.
And Stoneforge, Stoneforge. Which should be unbanned, but that's a different conversation entirely.
Death Taxes actually has not been putting up very great results lately in Modern. I feel like I haven't really seen it. I mean, I'm sorry, in Legacy.
Recently in Modern.
No, it's actually, it's been coming on strong in Modern, but the Miracles matchup is kind of problematic for them.
Oh, I have a deck. Mud, you mentioned it earlier. The Eldrazi deck that's around right now and the Mud deck in Modern are very comparable.
Okay.
They're both playing lands, colorless based mana sources that tap for more mana than they should to play weird fatties that just are going to beat down and then sometimes do some amount of interaction with what your opponent's doing happenstance.
Okay. I've seen some
Eldrazi lists that are a little bit more controlling. So that could have enough similarities that if you like one, you'll probably enjoy the other also.
Right. Between between the one that, Flame Tongue Kavu someone and the one that Thought Not Seer and even Reality Smasher to a certain extent. Like, these are all cards that are like, I shouldn't be able to play these. They're like big 4/4, 5/5s that you're playing on turn 2, turn 3, because...
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then, they get around with... And then in the beginning turn, they're using hate cards. They're using stuff like, Thoughtseize or Graveyard Hate to slow your opponent down so that they can get to that point.
Okay. Before we move on, actually, I wanted to take a minute and thank our sponsor. As always, we are hosted on GatheringMagic.com, great source of articles and puzzles and just fun stuff and podcasts. Our sponsor is CoolStuffInc.com, a good website for all of your board games and Magic singles. They've got a good buy list that I've been looking into myself. But we do have a specific sponsor for just this episode. From the makers of 5-Hour Energy comes their newest product, Zombie Assassin. Have you ever slept? Well, this one is what you do when you want to be done sleeping. This will take your zombie, take that inner dread, that Monday kind of feeling, and it will murder it hard. We do warn you, though, side effects do include becoming an actual zombie. But we think that that's actually worth it, your 5-Hour Energy, and want you to try our new product. Moving on. We actually have a lot more to talk about, and we have already gone way over where we expected to by this point. So we're actually just going to wrap things up really quickly right now and make this a two-part episode. So I know.
One more week. Come back.
So Alex will, through the magic of temporal manipulation, still be here when you all come back and listen to us again. We actually keep him in the basement.
Casting a time walk. That's not in this format. What's in this format? What's your next turn? What's the one that untaps all your lands?
So we need a banned card of the day before we go.
Do it quick. We're late. Do it quick.
So the banned card of the day could be time walk, which is... So blue and a colorless is a sorcery. It says take another turn. And if you can't figure out why that's broken, well,
it's overrated. No one's ever heard of that card.
It is overrated. It is overrated, but it is the sort of thing that it's just way too cheap for the effect, though.
It's not overrated? When you're flashing it back with
or you're replaying it with, like, Yogg-Will or...
I've done that in Cube. It's glorious.
Right. Yeah, play Explore. It's even green, which is the better color anyway. Turn two, take an extra turn. Turn two, explore. It's basically the same card, right?
Actually, I have been on the record in saying that I think green is the second best color in Magic.
Well, you're almost right. Then you're that close. All right, we will come on back. But until next time, just remember, everybody. in case somebody does not come back, you all know how to get in touch with us. We won't waste your time again. But Alex, how do they get in touch with you in case they, you know, fall off a bridge but still want a podcast to listen to?
Right. Yeah. I am at Kes Wiley on Twitter, but more importantly, because that's where I'll generally argue with you, pretending to be an ethereal podcast Twitter account, follow us, my podcast at the MMCast on Twitter. That's, and we have a Facebook, but, you know, Twitter, that's where it's at.
All right, and we will shoot up your Twitter and link to your show in the show notes. So until next time, everybody.
Awesome.
Just remember.
Oh, yeah, make sure to check out the podcast.
All right.
On rocketjump.com. We also have a Commander podcast there, so do both. Command Zone, Masters Modern, we're sweet.
All the podcasts.
Yep. All the podcasts. Every format but standard, because who wants to rotate? That sounds...
Yeah. anything else you want to talk about? You got any good chili recipes to share with everybody before we go?
We'll save that for episode two.
You know, ketchup, beer. Mm. Just add beer to all food.
Oh. All right. Until next time, everybody, just remember, whether you're in Legacy or Modern, preparation is the best Legacy weapon. Thanks.
That, I mean, I'm down. Sign me up. How do I get a case?
You know, it's zombification is only one out of every 33 people, so you're probably
fine. I love those odds. Those are great odds.
Yeah, it's
each,
great.
Each time. Yeah. So that, I mean, after.
If you have the case, that's 36. So statistically, you're probably a zombie.
Well, no, but I'm sharing. I'm going to have a party. I'm okay, gonna take there all you go. Myself for my friends.
Just remember to double tap.
Right.